From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this local and statewide news. The proposed merger between the parent company of Juno's power utility and a Canadian power company is dead. That's according to Hydro One and Avista, who announced today they had terminated the deal. Alaska Electric Light and Power was bought by Avista Corporation in 2014. In 2017, its Spokane-based parent company opened merger talks with Toronto-based Hydro One. But the merger needed approval in every state that Avista does business. Alaska's regulators had approved the deal, but utility regulators in Idaho and Washington rejected the merger. Both states cited fears over political meddling in Hydro One, which is 47% owned by the province of Ontario. Populist Premier Doug Ford forced Hydro One's CEO to resign and replaced its board of directors weeks after being elected in June. In a joint statement, Avista and Hydro One said their boards of directors independently decided termination would be the best course of action for the companies and their shareholders. AELNP President Connie Hulbert wrote in a statement that the outcome of the proposed merger will not affect the Juno utility, which serves 17,000 homes and businesses, including Hecla's Greens Creek mine. Quote, it will continue to be business as usual for AELNP, end quote, she wrote. Some in Juno had raised concerns about the prospect of a foreign business owning the 125-year-old company. Renewable Juno, an advocacy group, released a statement applauding regulators for scuttling the merger. The nonprofit's Andy Romanoff wrote that the proposed merger was not in the public interest. Hydro One will pay Avista a $103 million termination fee as required by the merger agreement, the statement said. In an email, Avista spokeswoman Casey Fielder said Avista is not actively seeking any other mergers. And Governor Mike Dunleavy said the state is going to declare war on criminals during his State of the State address on Tuesday. He followed up on that Wednesday by proposing bills that would repeal most of what's left of the criminal justice overhaul enacted 3 years ago. Dunleavy is proposing reversing the cuts to sentences and bail that became law in Senate Bill 91 in 2016.
If you are a criminal, this is going to be a very dangerous place for you starting now. I suggest you get out while you can. No more coddling, no more excuses. Your days are over.
Dunleavy proposed four bills on Wednesday. One would increase penalties for sex offenses. Another would reverse a range of reductions to sentences, including SB 91, as well as add a new category of crime called terroristic threatening. Another bill would increase bail and give judges more discretion in how people charged with crimes are released before trials. And the fourth bill reduces the use of parole.
When people ask the question, well, are these folks going to go to jail? Yes, they're going to go to jail. And will we need to increase the number of beds in jails? Probably, yes. Will we need to increase jails? Maybe. We'll see. We're not going to spare the resources that will be necessary to turn this around.
Dunleavy also said he'll propose three amendments to the Alaska Constitution. One would impose a new spending limit on state government. The other two would require a public vote for any changes to permanent fund dividends or taxes. Dunleavy also said he would lower state spending to match the amount the state raises. He said his administration would grow the economy and restore trust in government. Anchorage Democrat Representative Matt Clayman said he will examine all of the bills with an eye toward whether they will improve public safety and make wise use of state spending. He expressed concern that Dunleavy is looking to cut spending that is intended to help people leave prison reenter communities without returning to crime. But Clayman notes Dunleavy wants to increase dividend payments and pay back the dividend cuts from the last 3 years.
He wants to make all those payments, and he wants to cut government, and he wants to have unlimited spending for public safety. And all those things, when I add them up, I'm skeptical.
And the state's new budget director, Donna Ardwin, is putting together a proposal for next year's budget. She laid out some of her methods for the Senate Finance Committee on Tuesday. That budget probably won't come out for another 3 weeks, but it's likely to be controversial as it's expected to make deep cuts to address the $1.6 billion hole in the state's budget. Ardwin is a veteran state budget hawk who has worked on cutting spending for governors in six other states. She says her office is not going to continue to squeeze budgets and try to maintain the same level of services.
Our proposals are all policy driven. And as I said, rather than asking agencies to do more with less, we're asking them to do less with less in many instances.
She echoed Governor Mike Dunleavy's message to lawmakers that the state's spending must meet its income. One of her first moves as budget director was to reorganize the state's budget staff. Now, instead of each commissioner of each state agency having their own budget team, Those budget teams have been relocated to her office, and they answer to her. She says her office has been working with departments to help them prioritize their programs.
In some cases, finding things that really agencies are doing now that aren't part of their core missions or even fit within their primary business processes.
She says her department is also looking at options for outsourcing state services, eliminating non-essential programs, and asking Alaskans to pay for more services. Sitka Republican and Finance Committee co-chair Bert Stedman says he thinks the public should see the process that goes into building the budget.
Because the budget might itself might take the air out of most of the rooms it's dropped into.
The budget is due out on February 13th. And from the outside, it might look nice to be a furloughed federal employee, but the longest government shutdown in U.S. history isn't a vacation. Many federal workers are having a hard time paying the bills. In addition, they've been taking heat online from people who don't understand. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin has the story of what it's like to be a furloughed federal worker in Juneau and how others in the community are trying to help.
Well, at first, I was just hoping it would be over soon, and so I was just cleaning house and visiting friends, and but then money started getting a little short.
Eric Adam is an Air Force veteran and has worked for the federal government for over 20 years. For the last three, he's been in Juneau with the Forest Service. He's an administrator, supporting the agency's work in many ways.
You do all kinds of things. It could be anything from changing a cartridge in the copy machine, or I know it just sounds mundane, but there's really a lot of work that needs to be done to make sure things go on schedule, because if they don't, it costs money.
Except now, everything's off schedule. Adam works in the federal building with about 90 other Forest Service employees, and nearly all of them have had to stay home since the shutdown began. Adam says the shutdown is already hurting federal workers. He's had to make partial payments on his rent and electric bill, and the worst part for him, he wasn't able to make his child support payment this month. That comes out of his paycheck automatically, but his last paycheck didn't come at all. He says his situation is not unique.
Everyone is going through the same thing, only their own situations aren't being taken care of. You know, it could be their pets, it could be whatever, their children, their grandchildren, a sick parent.
Adam says he's received some support from friends and others in Juneau. But he's also heard a lot of criticism directed toward federal workers who've spoken out about what they're dealing with.
You know, they're whiners and that they're all on paid vacation. And that just irked me so much. We're real people and we're not just a bunch of whiners either. We're here to serve them. You know, the folks who have the wrong impression of us, we're here to serve them as well.
Adam isn't the only one who's been bothered by the negativity. Bunty Reed was at a church potluck when friends told her about a Facebook post they'd seen, written by a federal worker.
Somebody had posted a thank you to somebody that had bought them a cup of coffee, and, you know, they just were being appreciative of it. And instead of that standing, it sort of went, you should have saved money, blah, 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 just this awful, judgmental group of trolls that started coming in and saying terrible things.
The next morning, with her family, an idea was born over ham and eggs.
We're going to do a breakfast.
Reed called her pastor about using the church, and the rest fell into place. All the food, paper plates, napkins, everything was donated. Reed estimates about 40 people showed up last Saturday to volunteer at the fundraiser, and almost 100 came to eat.
Find something good. There's cereal and oatmeal and all kinds of casseroles.
Do you have any idea of what your donations are?
Nope, I haven't stopped to count.
The final count was over $2,500. Reed wants to distribute that money to as many federal workers as possible, although they're still sorting out the logistics. Adam, who volunteered at the event, says he appreciates the support.
I'll tell you what, we federal employees are so grateful for the community's help to us right now. And I guarantee you they'll get it 100-fold back.
The way they'll give back, Adam says, is by doing their jobs. Any day now.
We want to start up again, man. We're just wanting to go, you know? I'm tired of this. I want to go to work.
Juneau Economic Development Council estimates there are nearly 700 federal workers in Juneau, not counting the Coast Guard. Altogether, the wages they missed out on last payday total over $2 million. If the shutdown continues through this Friday, they'll miss that much again. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.